Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the message. Lord, I pray that you bless it today. I pray that it's heard in the manner in which I received it. And Lord, I pray that you bless this church through it in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us want to raise good kids. I know my parents wanted to, and me and Carol actually gave them a run for their money. But every parent wants to raise good kids. And the Bible has some prescriptions for raising good kids. We want kids when they grow up, we want them to get along. We don't want them arguing all the time. We don't want them jealous of one another. We want to raise kids that love one another, help one another all through life, and get along all through life. We want that. So I'm going to read a passage of Scripture which is not very popular to be read today, but I'm going to read it anyway because it's the Bible and I happen to believe the Bible. I also believe that God created Adam and Eve. He created them male and female. He didn't create Eve to walk under Adam's feet, but to walk beside him. He took the rib out of Adam's side to me that shows that. It takes the same amount of blood to save a woman as it does a man. Bible doesn't talk about a man and woman's soul being different, and our eternity is in the soul, not in the body. The body is going to die. No matter what you do, your body's going to die. So I'm not standing up here to give you this scripture in order to, I just want to show you how God orders things and how we can have good kids and a good family. Ephesians chapter 5 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He is talking to the family. He's talking to husbands and wives. Submit to one another. Other words, you know, like when you were dating, you submitted to one another. You'll say to her, where do you want to eat? And she'll say, oh, I don't care. Where do you want to eat? And you'll say, I don't care. Where do you want to eat? And that'll go on for about 45 minutes. You know, then after you're married about 20 years, where do you want to eat? I don't care. You want to pick? Okay, let's go down to Eddie Lee's. I don't want to eat at Eddie Lee's again. Well, where do you want to go? I don't care. Well, okay, let's go to the Outback. Oh, you know I don't like Outback. Well, you pick. I don't want to pick. You want to go to Olive Garden? We just had Olive Garden. You know how it goes, okay? What is talking about is we continually submit to one another as a husband and wife. And here's what God says. And I think I need to read verse 32 out of chapter 5 before I read verse 5:21. Verse 32 says, this is a profound mystery. He said, this is a profound mystery that I am talking to you about, but I am talking about Christ and the church. So he says, I'm praying that you understand the relationship between a husband and a wife and a family, because I'm going to explain how you're supposed to love the church and be part of the church, because the church is the bride of Christ. Now, my entire generation of preaching has taken this out of context and made it the structure for the family rather than structure for the church. But that's fine. They both work the same way. No way is this church going to take precedent over what God says and what God wants. Church is his bride, and he takes care of us. We couldn't make it without him. So the Bible says this, submit to one, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. Oh my, that's a big word, isn't it, Lord? For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. And now as the church submits to Christ, also wives submit unto your husband in everything. That doesn't mean that your husband calls all the shots. That doesn't mean that he necessarily has the last word. What that means is you respect him. You know, when my sister was dating, my dad looked over her husband and said, husband-to-be and said, you know, he'll be a good provider. He'll have a good place. Now, I'm man enough that I could handle my wife making more money than me. That wouldn't bother me a lick. But most of the time when we're raising girls, we're raising them, we want them to have a good education. We want them to make it on their own. But we also want them to marry a man that is capable of taking care of and helping them in the family. Someone that is respectable. Never do we say, oh, I hope my daughter can find a good man that can stay home and watch the kids. Sometimes that happens. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. What I am saying is this. There is a structure that the man... Who drove when you dated? Well, now you don't have to get up and walk out on that. Who drove when you dated? He did, 90% of the time. Now, my sister is a little different because my brother-in-law didn't have a car. My sister had a nice new Chevy convertible, 1960. It's kind of nice. But most of the time, he did. Who paid when you went out to eat? And you say, well, preacher, I grew up in a chauvinistic world. There isn't anything wrong with a guy being opening a door for a woman. There's nothing wrong with a man taking out the trash. There's nothing wrong with a man running the sweeper. When I went in and I found out that I had this cracked bone in my back, the doctor said, well, you can't golf anymore. And I thought, he didn't say anything about running the sweeper. I run the sweeper too. Why didn't he bring that up? He was just picking on the things that he thought I might like. What I'm saying is this structure that God had, the man, you know, you ever see a rooster pheasant and a hen pheasant and how the different colors they have in them? God has an order for everything. I do not like men being chauvinistic. I do not like men pushing their wives around. I do not like men pushing their family around. I like people that understand what the scriptures is saying. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. You wouldn't get that left hand messed up. You wouldn't do that. Nor would you yell at it and scream at it. When you're married to a wife, you're one flesh, you're one body, and no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does his church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united unto his wife. And I always wondered why it said that. Why didn't it say a woman will leave her mom and dad and be united with her husband? Because it's harder for a man to leave his parents. Because man is taking on a responsibility. So it's harder for a man to leave than it is a woman. A woman's looking for someone, looking for their champion. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man leaves his mother and father and cleaves to his wife. The two shall be one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and his church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. There's nothing wrong with that. And a husband needs to respect his wife, and a wife needs to love her husband. Just because the Bible didn't go on and say some of those things doesn't mean that it doesn't mean it. When you're one flesh, the wife loves her husband, same as the husband loves the wife. The husband respects the wife, same as the wife does the husband. That road goes both ways. And he said, I'm talking about the church. And here's what he's saying. He said, church, love me. Find where I'm at, find what I'm doing, and I will love you, and I will find where you're at, and I'll find what you're doing, and I'll bless you, and I'll work through you, and you'll bless me, and you'll work through me. We have one another. I told the teenagers this morning, we have some place that we can go and reach to that will help us in everything that we do, everything we want to create, because we are one with him. The church is one with him. And he's saying, the church is one with him the same as you are one with your wife. You ever try to make yourself angry? You say, well, I can't make myself angry. Other people do that. You ever try to make your wife angry? You ever have your wife try to make you angry? You ever try to make your husband angry? Why do you do that? if you're one. That's like arguing with yourself. If you want to raise good kids, I've observed something over the 40-some years of ministry. Stop arguing at home. Husbands and wives, get along. Set some goals. Sit down. Talk together. If you have trouble doing that, come into my office. I'll sit down with you and help you set out some life goals that you can work on, some things that you can talk about, some things that you can encourage one another about. If your children see you arguing all the time, your children will not get along as adult children. You'll have a hard time having Christmas. You'll have a hard time having Thanksgiving. You'll have a hard time. And you say, well, preacher, I'm a single mother. Or I'm a single dad. Then quit talking about your ex. Kids hear that. You know something that I learned? Your children did not pick your ex to be their dad or their mother. You did that. So buck up and take some responsibility for it. And stop trying to put the other one down in front of the children. That doesn't help at all. Therefore, God has chosen people, in Colossians 3, 12 and 17, chosen people holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, forgive one another. For if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. That means you treat one another with respect. You watch out for one another, not only in your home. Of course, we do that in our families, or we should, but in the church, we watch out for one another. We are responsible for one another. We are to forgive one another. Have you ever been hurt in the church by someone that said something or did something? I have. Matter of fact, I've been more hurt in the church by church people than anyone outside of the church could hurt me. But here I am loving the church. Here I am loving God. Here I am forgiving them and pastoring them the same as I would anyone else in the church. Why? Because God gave his blood for you. Because Christ died for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 24, 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day appearing. Don't stay away from family functions, go. Don't stay away from church functions, go. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. If we are one and we want to stay one, then we need to be together. I came from a good family, but boy, have we had some battles to fight. We grew up fussing. I had a sister 4 years older than me and a brother 8 years younger and another brother 8 years older. And Eddie, the one that's in heaven now, he never did do anything wrong that we know about. And along came Carol. She set a good example for me. And then Jim came along, and I always got in trouble for what Jim did. Eddie said one time, he said, at least Bob was the same to all of us kids. He broke all of our bikes. He didn't just break one. But we love one another. When push comes to shove, we're there for one another. There may be somebody you don't care about in the church. That's fine. But you got to love them. When they're in need, you got to help them. You got to encourage them. We need to pray together. You know, a family, if you sit down and pray with your kids and read their Bible with your kids, you're going to have your kids that are going to turn out better because they're going to know the Bible, for one thing, and they're going to know that you turn to God. I knew when my dad prayed, he was talking to somebody he absolutely, totally respected, someone that he had submitted to. I knew that. And so when we as kids started to pray, we were talking that same God our dad was talking to and our mother was talking to. If you pray together and read your Bible together and worship God together. We had one of these amazing things in our family that's why I tell everyone, give your kids music lessons. My brother Jim had a talent, and he had sat down. He could play by ear, and he took lessons. He could play by note. But we'd sit around the piano, and we'd sing. You know what that was? It was worship. We didn't know any songs but Christian songs. Jim played one time at home this little thing on the piano, music box dancer that Billy Joel played. Remember that? I didn't know his secular song. I knew Jim only played Christian songs. And he played that at home, and I thought, man, that's pretty neat. So I was pastoring this church about 34 years ago, and I said, Jim, come up here. And Jim came up, and I said, I want you to play something for us. And he said, what do you want? And I said, play that little thing you're playing at home, that music box thing. And Jim goes, and I said, come on, play it. He said, so he played it, and everybody clapped. But anyway, I didn't know it was. I didn't know it was Billy Joel's song. But because all the songs we ever sing around the piano were just Christian songs, and it was worship. But if you teach your children to worship together, they'll go through some hard times. They'll go through some times when they won't talk to each other. They'll be aggravated at each other. But they will come back together. And when push comes to shove, their family. And that's the same way with the church. When push comes to shove, family sticks together. The church sticks together. We've had some hard times in this church, but we've stuck together. We've had some people that walked out, and you know, you wonder, will they come back? I don't know, but we've always left the door open for that. I've done my best to try to make sure that if they come back, they're treated just like anybody else. Why? Because this is not my church. It's God's church. In 1 Corinthians 7, it says, to the rest I say this, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if any woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through the believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. You understand that? Some people say, well, preacher, my kids are turned out bad because my husband just didn't save and he's a rascal. No, your kids are turned out bad because you can do better as a Christian. Stop putting him down. But preacher, you don't understand my ex. She's just bad, and that's why my kids are bad. No. They're sanctified through you. That's what the Bible says. And I haven't believed the Bible over anything that I might want to think. And then the Bible says, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? What he's saying is don't give up. If you're living with somebody that is not a Christian, don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on living the Christian life in front of them. Live it the best that you can, and God will do the best by you as he can. Set the example for your spouse and set the example for your children and set the example for your grandchildren. My brother and I were talking not too long ago, and we said it's really hard to get kids to straighten out when their grandparents are still messed up. I mean, we've got to get it in line. If we believe in holiness and we believe in godliness and we believe in the church and we believe in eternity, and eternity is a lot longer than this 100 and some years we have on the earth at the most, then we better set some things up that are eternal. Of course, we're going to have ups and downs. No one is perfect. No church member is perfect. No church leader is perfect. And let me let you in on a secret. You're not perfect either. So how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you have a beam in your own eye? We're not to merely like the church. We're not to merely serve the church. But we are to fall deeply in love with the church. And the longer you're in it, the more you need to love her. If your wife comes to you and says, we have this thing at work, and we're all supposed to buy a gift for this person, and I don't have any money. And the husband says, well, you work, you ought to have money. That's the wrong answer. Say how much you need. And even if it takes all that you have as a husband, you give it. And it's the same way with a wife, because you're in this together. You know what breaks up homes? Selfishness. Husband wanting his way, wanting to do his thing, a wife wanting her way and wanting to do her thing. And we both need to be there because we choose to be there. You know why you're in church today? Because you chose to come to church today. God didn't wrestle you around. God didn't hog tie you or handcuff you and say, you've got to be in church today. You kids don't count. A little kid. No. God leaves it up to you to come. Terry and I got married many years ago. We made this statement. We will come home at night because we choose to be there. And if I show up at home, I choose to be there. Terry shows up at home, she chooses to be there. So there's no arguing over it. There's no jealousy over what we have or what we buy. She's always encouraged me to buy more things for me. I encourage her to buy more things for her. I think that's the way it should be. You've always had a better car than me. My mother always had the better car. Dad made sure. Commitment is to love the bride with an unwavering, unconditional love. Unconditional love means that I will continue to fall more deeply in love regardless of the response. It means my love for the church will grow even as I grow. But the church don't respond to me the way I'd like for it to. Don't talk to me. It's not mine. Talk to him. We'll pray for the church leaders together. We'll worship together, and we'll serve together. If our family gets discouraged or discontent in our church, we will remind ourselves that unconditional love is not always easy, but we will always remain ourselves. The unconditional love has been demonstrated perfectly for us in Jesus Christ, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. If you decide to skip churches and skip churches and skip churches because a preacher says something that you don't like, or because they sing a song you don't like, or someone gets elected to a board and you don't, that's just like walking out on your family. And it sets a bad precedent for your children. Sometimes we learn that the hard way. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You want good kids? Then love your wives, guys. You want good kids? Then do your best. Respect your husband's wives. You want good kids? Love your husband's wives. You want good kids? Respect your wives, husbands. You want good kids? Respect the church and the people that are in it. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be the kind of parents we need to be. Help us be the kind of grandparents we need to be and the type of great grandparents we need to be. Help our children to be the kind of children they need to be, but Lord, you said that we should train them. And Lord, help us to train them in what is right. May they find us praying and reading our Bible and worshiping more than they find us yelling at one another. Help us to be able to get up off the couch or out of our chair in order to show our children how to do something rather than yelling at them about not doing it. Help us be an example and not a critic. Help us be your man and your woman, your husband, your wife, and the family. For that we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.